Well, I believe that God is sounding the alarm. Redemption is drawing nigh. I believe God is trying to get a message to some folks, and maybe some here today that are lost. Time is quickly running out. I believe with all my heart that if you're going to get in, you better be getting in. I believe we could hear that trumpet sound. The shout from glory could come, and we're going to leave this old world. I'm glad I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And you should know whether or not you're saved. If you're here today, you need to be saved, and please don't pass it by, not one more day, not one more hour. If God is speaking to your heart today about salvation, then why don't you come even now? Right now, this altar is always open. There's always people that would come and pray with you. If you're here and God's dealing with your heart about your salvation, don't you pass it by. Because the Holy Spirit is very sensitive, and I know a lot of people don't realize how sensitive the Holy Spirit is, because you can quench the Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can draw off of you. And when the Holy Spirit draws off of you, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to come to Jesus. You're not going to be brought to the Lord, because only by the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God will you come to Jesus. And if God is speaking to your heart right now, if the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, then please come now. As God is opening up that door of opportunity, don't never pass it by. Don't never pass it by. Continue to be much in prayer for Dan Talley, who's in the hospital. Continue to pray for Marshall Vaughn, who's now home with Kay, his daughter. Let's remember them in prayer. And it's also good, of course, to see Miss York able to be back with us today. And what a job these guys have done today, singing in the choir. I just thank God for them. I thank God for this day that we're able to be here. I believe with all my heart, this is a super day here in God's house. It really is. So if you will, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. This is the sixth message that I have preached from chapter number 1. And God has led me to preach concerning what makes an example church. Same thing that makes a church an exemplary church is the same thing that makes a Christian an exemplary Christian. And I look at verse number 3 and I see in chapter number 1 that some of the things that we as people may hold up to be an exemplary Christian may not be the things that God considers to be an exemplary Christian. And so I'm going to stick with God. Amen. If you will, please stand with me now in respect for God's word as I begin reading from verse number 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Arcadia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Arcadia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Our Heavenly Father, our hearts are already overflowing today from your presence and the touch that you have laid upon us. God, you have anointed this day. This is the day that you have made. And God, we are thankful that we have the privilege to gather here again and to praise you and to worship you and to hear from your precious word. God, these songs have stirred my heart. The prayers that have been lifted up, dear God, I know that you have heard and that you are acting on behalf of these prayers. God, I pray that this would truly be a great day in your house here and throughout the world. I pray that souls are going to be saved today here, dear God, and other churches throughout the world as well. And I pray that, dear Heavenly Father, you would use me and speak through me, dear God, today, the words that we stand in need of. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, that we may be able to be drawn closer to you. Lead me now, dear God, and give me the words that you would have me to say and protect my every thought. God, I'll be careful to give you all the glory and all the honor for these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And you may be seated, and I know that God has blessed the reading of his precious word. And in chapter number 1, we find that Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, which he was able to establish on his second missionary journey. And as he was there for at least 3 weeks, maybe a little bit longer, there arose a riot there in the town of Thessalonica, which consisted of over 200,000 people in the days of Paul. And the riot broke out between religious people and people who worship idols and all these other things because they did not want Paul preaching and lifting up Jesus Christ. And literally, Paul had to leave Thessalonica for his life. Paul wondered, maybe even doubted, as to whether or not the church would be able to exist and continue to go on. And Timothy brings him a letter of encouragement and lets him know that the church is existing and the church is doing well, that the people stood firm and the people lifted up Jesus and the church is doing well. And Paul here is writing back to the church at Thessalonica, and he's sharing with them that they are a church that should be an example to all the people, not only in Macedonia and Arcadia, but to all the brethren. We find out here that the things that makes the church great in the eyes of God is told to us in here in chapter number 1. And one of the things that makes the church great is the fact that all the people were one with God. For Paul says in verse number 1 that you were in God and you were in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to be one with God, you have to be saved. But not only were they one with God, but we also found out that an exemplary church or an exemplary Christian is a person or a church that works by faith. I know that today a lot of people put all kinds of different emphasis on different things, but I wonder how many today do you know of that really walk by faith? How many people are setting the right example that God is saying is the type of example that should be to all the people of the world, and the example that we should be setting and the example that people are to be following is the fact that we work by faith? But not only should we work by faith, as it says in verse number 3, but it goes on to say that we should labor. And the word labor there is talking about to the point of exhaustion. And why should we labor? It should be a labor of love. What should we be looking for as an example to follow? We ought to be following people that walk by faith. What kind of example should people be setting that we would be wanting to follow? And it should be that they labor because they love God. Of course, last Sunday, as we had the opportunity to preach, we looked at the third portion there in verse number 3, where it says that a great example to any church or a great example of any Christian should be that that Christian or that church should be a person who has great patience. Because without patience, you're not going to be able to serve God the way that God wants you to serve Him. Patience is essential for us, and God tells us that we need patience, and God will teach us to have patience. In the way that God teaches us to have patience is to put us into trials and to allow us to go through tribulation, and those things have a purpose to bring us to the place that we can serve God better, that we can have patience, because patience has a work. And the thing that patience does for us, it gives us and teaches us to have hope. And the Bible here is telling us that a great example of any Christian is a Christian that not only has patience, but that a Christian has hope, that a Christian needs to exert hope. And the Bible teaches us that we as Christians should be rejoicing in hope. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, verse number 12, it tells us rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. As I was reading that passage of Scripture, I began to think about the part of rejoicing and how many times throughout the Bible that we are commanded to rejoice. I read in my Bible that the Bible tells us Jesus was speaking to the disciples who had come back, and they were all excited about being able to cast out demons and being able to do a lot of different things. And Jesus said, "This should not be the thing that you rejoice in the most." Jesus said unto them, "You should rejoice because your name has been written down in glory." We are commanded to rejoice because of the hope that we as Christians have. We are commanded to rejoice because our names have been written down in glory. And folks, let me share with you today that if you're not rejoicing this morning, you're not obeying God. We are told to rejoice because our names are written down. Again, in the book of Romans, chapter number 5 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "Rejoice in hope of the glory of God." We ought to be rejoicing, and we ought to be letting the world see that we've got something to be joyful about. First Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 8, it tells us, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's the kind of rejoicing we ought to be doing here this morning. Because we've got hope. Because our name has been written down in glory. We ought to be rejoicing to the point that we can't even find the words to describe what it feels like. That people ought to be able to look at our lives and say, my goodness, you've got something. You've got something that I would like to have in my heart. Now let me ask you today, are you setting an example for others to follow? Or are we a church that should be an exemplary church? Do we have joy, unspeakable and full of glory? Are we rejoicing because our names are written down in glory? Are we rejoicing because we've got hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? How many people do you know of today that's setting that type of an example? How many people do you know of that are rejoicing in hope? How many people today, as the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 16, this ought to be an anthem for our church. This is what we ought to put out on the bulletin board and all the places around the church. The Bible says in chapter 5, verse number 16, rejoice evermore.